On today's Resum podcast, we'll preview the upcoming game against Hawthorn on Saturday, round whatever it is, 22, 23. It all gets confusing these days with the extra rounds. Last game of the year. I don't think there's finals this year. They've cancelled the finals series, so this will be the last round of footy for everyone. Looking forward to that. Hope everyone's had a good season. We're all off to Bali. Let's get the Chief on board. We'll have a chat about the game right after we start wearing purple with Gorgul Bodello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restump Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, joined by a man who, well, he's at a loss for this episode. He's got nothing, he says. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Yes, hello Jojo. Yeah, I've got nothing, but I've probably got a little bit more than you. Rounds 22 or 23, whatever it is you said. It's round 24, Jojo. You're off to a flyer. Yeah. He's a bit under the weather.
I'm a little bit under the weather, I've got to admit. I was fortunate enough to get an invite from one of our listeners, Mac, and his dad, Wayne, who organised a dinner. Well, they didn't organise it. I think it bid on an auction.
Right.
A dinner with special guest Pav and Sean Darcy last night. And
right, you're at their table.
The wine was flowing, and I don't know. It seems to have hit me. I don't know if I was feeling unwell beforehand or not, but I just had an absolute stinker today. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, right. Jeez. That was a good night, wasn't it? Yeah. It was a good night. I sat at the window and watched in. I couldn't get in. I couldn't get in, Jada. But I was trying to lip read. Wasn't very good at it. What anything come out of it? Darson, Pav, did they give anything away?
I don't know. It's pretty. They were pretty good, pretty relaxed. General conversation. I don't know. I think we've been pretty confident that Darcy doesn't want to go home for a start. I think he said that pretty clearly anyway. But from that and hearing, he sounds very genuine in his love for the club and his want to be here in the longer term.
Yeah.
So I think for anyone that's believing anything that's written in terms of does Freo need to trade Sean Darcy, like forget about that. It's not going to happen.
Mm. That's awesome.
I don't know. He's seen his camaraderie with Luke Jackson, his mentorship for him, as being someone he looks up to as a ruckman and learns from. Seems to have embraced that a lot. Without putting words into his mouth,
right.
He seems to, I think, enjoy what Luke Jackson brings culturally to the club compared to the number two that we previously had.
Oh, really?
He didn't say that. I said that.
Oh, there's a headline.
I said that. No, they were good though.
You're reading between the lines.
Reading between the lines. Yeah. But there was an obvious disappointment, not only from Sean, but, Pav obviously had the Dockers hat on, being a Dockers type dinner.
Yeah.
This season, no one seemed very happy about it. And it seems as though watching on to the... It's lucky they did, as I said, lucky they did cancel the final series because it would have burnt... Deeply, cut deeply, the Fremantle squad watching on if there was a final series.
What?
There's no finals in the AFL this year.
So. Oh, okay. See what you mean. Yeah, no finals. No, I love finals. I don't even care if we're not in them. I love finals.
I think it's going to kill them watching them.
It really, do you think?
I think it will because I think that they put a lot, and again, like just inferring from tone and from... the way Sean spoke about it. I think they take a lot of ownership themselves on how this season's gone and the disappointment that has kind of come from it. And, Pav brought up the guys that we've lost in Akers and Lobb and Logue and all that and loss of experience. But from the way Sean spoke, he, kind of at a loss to what happened on game day on a lot of occasions because... They all were of the thinking that they're on the right track, they're doing all the right things. But I think that there is an acceptance of responsibility, especially from our young leaders, that they need to do better. So I think that they'll watch on with envy as the eight teams that have qualified play finals footy this year.
Wow. Okay.
I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Well, it's comforting to know they didn't know what was going wrong. That's comforting.
Well, I think from what he said, like the you know the way they were preparing for games was very similar to the previous year. Like, and they just turned up on game day, and then for whatever reason, had these patches where they just didn't get it done, and it cost us, didn't it?
So we know why, JJ. We know why.
We know what. Why?
They didn't turn up in good shape, and it's been confirmed. We've been saying that, haven't we?
Well, you know, I don't think we've said it like as if we knew anything, but
no, I didn't know, but it was a pretty good guess at the time.
They well, you're saying shot. That because of what JL said, what did he say it yesterday on the news or whatever it was?
Well, I'm saying it because of how the season unfolded in those first six games, but then it got confirmed today. He's challenging the players to come back in better shape. The only bit he left out was better shape than this year. So, other than the start of this year. So, but you can add that in. They weren't in good shape, JoJo. It cost us our year. I'll tell you, John Darcy, what's wrong. You were in shocking shape.
Were you going to tell him that to his face?
Absolutely not. Yeah. From the window, I did.
Yeah. From the window, yeah. Couple of changes. We've got the Hammer, Joel Hamling, coming back in with Sonny Walters. Out goes Bailey Banfield with that injury. Omira's out injured, and Erasmus somehow is going to end up probably being the sub again, which is terribly disappointing. Brandon Ryan comes in, Luke Ryan's cousin, so good for them. John Newcomb back in for the Hawks. Out goes Granger Barris, someone I'd like to see heading to Fremantle if we possibly could in the trade period.
Really?
Ramsden and Long. So we've got two brothers. We've got the Sarong brothers up against each other, and we've got the Battle of the Cousins as well in this game. So if nothing else, there's a bit of family pride on the line.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Sarong brothers react to each other. You never know. It must be awkward. It must be difficult to play against your brother. In that.
You reckon? What about when the Brayshaws play each other? Look, they want to rip each other's head off.
Yeah, they do, but they're a different family, that one. So
do you reckon Caleb's any different to them, though? I feel like he could be a Brayshaw brother if he really wanted to.
He probably could, couldn't he? You're right. But what's Jai like? Do we know what Jai's like?
Well, I've never seen him play. No idea.
Neither.
Yeah, but Brandon Ryan's been playing. He plays as he didn't ruck much, but he's like a forward ruck. So him and Luke will be spending a lot of time in the same area of the ground.
Right.
So, plenty of opportunity to flip across the year.
Are they close? Do you know? Have you read anything?
No idea.
Heard anything? No.
No. No. With the changes, though, it's pretty interesting Hamling coming back in. So, you've got Hamling, Pierce and Cox, if they were going to line up in their traditional location on the field. Pretty tall back line. You know, you're looking at the Hawks' forward line. It's not especially tall. They do have Kaczynski, who's a tall. They've got Huswaite. I think he might be a tall, possibly.
McDonald. How tall is McDonald? He's not that tall, is he?
He's not that big either. No. So it's not like you've really got a reason to play three key defenders.
What does it tell us
that we're going to, I don't know, this last game of the year, we're going to throw the magnets around a bit and Cox will spend more time forward?
Yeah, I think it does, but you're not doing that in a game that meant something, because I don't think in a game.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So why I'm sort of suggesting is, and I hope not, but is this Joel's last game for us? Because why would you bring him in otherwise?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And then, so the other one that's noticeable that didn't get a game is Wilson. So, I know it seems like a weird thing to think, but then does that mean Wilson's maybe more likely to get a contract next year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe because he's played at Peel Thunder for majority of the year. The same as Will Brody, to be honest. Do they just keep them in the team and let them have the run at the finals and try and win a flag at Peel?
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one with Hamling coming in. With Hamling coming in, you'd have to say that you're only doing it. And they did take Liam Reedy over there as well.
Right.
So it would, I don't know. You'd think someone different's going forward.
You can't play Hamling and Reedy as well, can you?
I would have liked nothing against Joel Hamling. Unfortunate to, the injuries he's had, whatever else. I would have loved to get a look at Reedy. And I would really like to have seen, even if they did a 50-50 split in the ruck, him and Jackson, but Jackson get back to playing a little bit more time in the forward line.
Yep. And just to give Reedy a taste of it and see if, you know, like you can spot something that he's got something there for the future or what. So
And also he's only rucking against Ned Reeves. Like Ned Reeves isn't going to stick the knee into him and end his life. Like he's a bit of a beanpole himself. Mm, so it's right. not like you're coming up against a Nankervis or a Breach
right.
or a Darcy him. Or one of these guys who's just going to squash him.
Yeah, that's right. So. And it was good of you to tell me that, Jojo, that today, because I've been flat out all day and you told me Reedy's in, he's going to play. So I rushed around, did the Reedy pod pick, thinking he was going to play. And then
I just saw he was on the plane. I didn't know if he was going to play or not.
I've got your thing. No, Reedy's in, he'll play. So then I had to go and do a second pod pick. So I'm pretty busy at the moment, Jojo. Can you get things right?
That's all right. Just keep it on file. He'll make his debut at some point,
yeah,
I'm sure.
That's right.
Well, the other thing that, you knew Sean Darcy's injury was obviously pretty serious because he's still in the moon boot, but he's got a long rehabilitation period. Now, he's almost got, well, it's like four or five months at least until he's back.
What, to go?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's what he said. That may have been after the fourth or fifth glass of Mosswood, but no, I'm pretty sure that's what he said. That's got to interrupt his preseason.
Wow. Okay. What did he actually do? Do you know the injury?
He did say it. I'm not really good at medical terms, and they seem to confuse me. But
it's very hard.
But
it's an ankle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a foot. We just say it's a foot?
Yeah.
I think it was an ankle. It was an ankle. He was talking about it, though, because one of the guys asked him about it. Did he know it was serious at the time?
Yeah.
And he was talking about, like, the difference between having a rolled ankle and this injury, and he knew it wasn't a rolled ankle. So he knew it was serious at the time.
Jeepers. That's going to affect his preseason. It's going to compromise his 2024. So that's not ideal.
Not ideal at all.
Wow.
The Hawks are an interesting team, aren't they? I mean, they've gone from periods of this year where everyone's bagging them out, saying this is going to be a 10-year rebuild, to them getting some really good results against pretty decent teams, and everyone saying how intelligent they are for stripping back their team, getting rid of guys like O'Meara, getting guys like
Gunsman.
Yeah, Mitchell, just shedding them out and providing opportunity for these younger guys.
Yep.
They've been a bit all over the place, but in the end, like you have to say, they're probably regenerating quite well, and they've found a few in the course of doing that.
Yeah, massively. I mean, look at them: Will Day, John Newcomb, Connor Nash, Cam McKenzie. They're kids, and they're showing it more than enough. Yeah, they're very inconsistent at times as a whole, but it's typical of a young club, isn't it? A very, very young club. This is what
one of the guys I like is Weddle. I think he was a father son, but you watch. He's an exciting player to watch. He gets it. He puts the ball under the arm and goes.
Okay.
He's aggressive, attacking. He looks the goods to me. He had those couple of games where he got high 20s in disposals.
Yep.
And he was really damaging. So they got a few down there that they found this year.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Ward's going to be a player. Warble.
Well, not if you take the example of his last game. Yeah. Killed my fantasy team, Josh Ward, didn't he?
Cost you the prelim.
Why'd you have to bring that up?
But you know what? This is the interest in this game, is that the Hawks have got a decent list, and there'll be a little bit of, you know, want sort of young side supremacy against us. They'll want to knock us off in it because we're in a similar position. You know, I just think there could be a little bit of flexing, a bit of chest pumping in this game. So I think there's something. I don't think it'll be a game of nothing, if you know what I mean.
No.
I think the Hawks will take it right up to us. And
A lot's been made of Finn McGuinness and his want to not get the football in the last couple of weeks.
Right.
Does he tag Sarong or Brayshaw?
I would hope not. Two young sides, just let him go, you know, but...
Well, that's kind of his role, though. That's what he's been doing every week, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Who would he go to? He's probably going to go to Sarong if he goes to anyone.
You'd send him to Sarong, yeah.
Yeah. So
having said that, then doesn't Mitchell try? He sometimes tries to get a bit clever and do the thing you don't expect, so he probably goes to Brayshaw.
Yeah, he might too. So maybe goes to Hayden Young. So, who knows? So, but it's actually going to be an interesting game, Jojo. For a game that means nothing, and probably at any other time, well, probably no one really wants to play, but I reckon the two sides, when they get out there, they'll want to end the season sort of with a bit of supremacy over the other, I think.
I think that the encouraging thing for us, and a reason to think that you can watch this game and expect to see a good performance from Freo, and I know it's the last game of the year, everyone's probably packed it in.
Mm.
From the point where it became mathematically impossible for us to make the eight, it's almost like our intensity and effort has, if not just like continued on at that same level, maybe even increased slightly.
Yep.
We finished off this year really well, and not let the idea that we can't progress further up the ladder and play finals footy impact our effort.
No, that's right. That's right. And maybe that was what they didn't know what was wrong till they couldn't make finals. Then they thought, hang on, playing like that, we couldn't make finals. We better play like this. So, I don't know. It's a mental thing, maybe. I don't know, but you're dead right. Since we got smacked by GWS and Richmond, you know, with the coinciding of probably Hayden Young going into the middle for a bit, you know, it just seemed to click, and they've had that intensity and that dedication, which just was not there, you know, for three quarters of the year. So, yeah, and as we said last week or a couple of weeks ago, Jojo, that if they bring that intensity and what they've done the last 5, 6, 7 weeks, whatever it is, if they bring that for 23 rounds, 24 rounds, whatever it is, we're playing finals. We're knocking off the Saints. We're probably knocking Sydney off. So we're you know, in where we probably thought we would be in the, you know, mid to bottom half of the eight. So it's all we got to do. It's all we got to do next year is bring that level of intensity, that level of intent, and stay relatively healthy, and we'll turn it around very quickly.
One of the Hawks' biggest weapons is probably located almost the farthest away from their goal in James Sisley. Mm. We've seen teams that have come up with against them recently use the you know, it's almost like a tagging forward. I think Melksham did an unbelievable job for Melbourne against him. We would normally send a Bailey Banfield to do that kind of job.
Mm.
Obviously, he's not in the team. Is it something that Tom Emmett could step up and do? Because apart from him, you look through the forwards and the guys that rotate through that forward line.
Yeah.
He seems like the only one that would have the physicality and the only one that would have that kind of mindset to be able to do that kind of job.
Yeah, you might be right. It'd be a big scalp, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, someone has to do it. Yeah. Otherwise, he takes 20 marks and has 40 touches and sets them up.
No, that's right. So, you're right, yeah. And I mean, he probably – I mean, it sounds like that's how he's gotten forced his way into the team, through – his defensive side of his game. So you would imagine that if it's an option, they're going to try it. And for a young kid like Tommy, if he takes down a James Sisley, far out. It's, you know, he's your first pick next year.
So that's kind of from a Hawthorn standpoint. Like, their midfield is going to be an interesting one for us as well, coming up against, you'd think, Johnson, Brayshaw, Sarong primarily. Mm. Obviously, we've been pretty poor at times through there. Other teams have managed to get a run on with us and, you know, win 4 or 5 centre clearances and be damaging with clean clearance and score. I think it's a danger coming up against the Hawks. A lot of those guys are really good in that area. You know, the Warple with his hands, Will Day is a big kid. And, you know, Jai Newcomb, who, you know, he kind of burst. He was the guy that burst on the scene and just tackled the house down when he first started. But they're a really combative little crew.
Mm.
So they're going to test our guys out. Like, I think our guys are probably better credentialed.
Yeah.
But those guys are not warriors, but, you know, they'll give them a good test. They play hard.
Yeah. And they do well in the clearances, in the centre clearances. So they really will test us out. And Will Day, another one. He's a jet, that kid. So. Yeah, they're not. They're hardheads. Warple's a hardhead. Josh Ward's, you know, a bit of a hardhead. So they do have that real strength in the middle, that, as you said, that combative nature. So it will be a different test for us. Different to last week, whereas, you know, Connor Rosie and Butters and that have got that nature, but they've also got more so got that speed to get away from the contest. So. Yeah, it's why the Hawks have been up and down. When their midfield can do that, it really puts them in good stead for the entire game. So,
they kind of bat a little bit deeper than us through that area of the ground as well, especially this week with O'Meara going out. We kind of, like, we didn't really replace him. It's only going to be repurposing, like, a James Aish to go through there to add a bit of depth, and then if we sub on Erasmus at some point. But I think it'd be a good test for our midfield coming up against these guys, because you don't have the excuse of 100 extra games or 5 extra kilos. Like, it's like for like. So, you got to get the job done. And we got beaten last week by a team of midfielders in a similar age demographic.
Similar age profile,
as well, so.
That's right. Yeah, but Hawthorn have done this to a number of teams this year, better teams. They've beaten them.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's their area of strength, isn't it? They've obviously got other areas of weakness, but
that we've got to exploit. But you'd like to see us go with them in the middle.
This could be Liam Henry's, or probably will be Liam Henry's last game in Fremantle, which is a little bit sad for some, not so sad for others. Mm. They're happy to see him. I won't use the language. No. But the wings, you can see already, you know, if Aishmoot has to move inside and play in the centre, we're pretty skinny in that area of the ground. We got Liam on one side. And then what, you got Warner maybe that can come up and play. Maybe Clark will shift up slightly, but I mean, he's been playing as not a lockdown defender, but a defender in the small forwards.
Yeah.
There's not a lot. The cupboard's pretty bare. And you look at Hawthorn and their wings and the width and run that those guys provide. Connor Nash has turned himself into a really, really valuable player.
Hasn't
and
he?
Carl Amon, the weirdest free agent acquisition ever.
It worked.
Leaving Port Adelaide when they're on just about to make a finals run, coming to a cellar dweller on big money is very, very strange. But those two guys, they're pretty good out there on the wide on the wings for Hawthorn.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? Yeah, it worked getting Carl Lehman across. This is and again, we're not going to harp on it, but this is the weird part why people are dirty on why I don't understand why people are dirty on Liam Henry is because what do they think is going to happen next year? You know, if they don't want Liam when Liam goes, you're dead right. Liam's his form's coincided with our form, with the entire team's form. We're going to go backwards. You know, we're not going to go backwards, but we're going to, if we want to take a big step forward, it's such an important position that we don't have.
Well, didn't JL say today that he didn't want to go to the draft? He wanted to grow the team from what we already have and not make too many changes.
Mm.
Even just from what Pav was saying last night, like, it's the one area of the squad that is a bit thin. Like, and maybe not in talent, maybe these guys will be there at some point, but they're not there yet, and they probably won't be there next year. Like, the only one really you'd be confident that could come and hold up a wing at some point next year would be O'Driscoll, out of all those young guys.
Yeah. I mean, because he's probably reasonably seasoned there last year anyway. But yeah, that's
we're gonna have to bring someone in. We're going to have to. Depending on whose stories you believe about Jeremy Sharp last year and what the Suns were wanting for him, or whether we wanted him at all in the end.
Yeah,
you know, we might be forced into trying to make a move to bring in someone like that to hold up an end for a period of time at least, even if they don't work out long term.
Does he fit the criteria?
Well, from what I've seen him, I don't know him as a person. I know him as a footy player. Like, he's perfect for us as a footy player.
Footy player, but does he fit the full criteria that we...
Well, I don't know. It's not for me to judge. I don't know him. But the stories I heard were that, in the end, that we declined.
Right. So, we declined. So, that's got to tell you that...
And that don't take that as gospel.
No, but... It was a bit strange that he didn't come in last year, but
And he hasn't played. Has he played a game this year? Like, he's had big games, for Gold Coast Twos, and not got a look in for them.
So is the room, is what we're hearing in relation to his character? Is that what is holding him back?
I've got no idea what's holding him back over there. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't even guess. But I just, like, there's something not quite right there. But we're going to need to do something in the wings. It's an important position, and we've seen it so far this year, that we played our best footy when Liam came in and opened up the ground for us.
That's right.
When we had a guy that was playing in wide areas, that was making an aggressive kick, that was biting him off, and we were hitting him. When Youngie was doing it from halfback, when Clark was running and cutting through the lines, that's when we played our best footy and when we could transition the footy and get good looks going forward. So, if we're not going to have anyone playing any kind of expansive game or playing with any width...
Mm.
I think we'll struggle a little bit with the same areas that we struggled early on this year in terms of transitioning our footy and ball movement. You need these guys.
That's right. So beyond a Jeremy Sharp, is there anyone on your radar that you're thinking about?
No. Well, I don't know. Well, you start thinking about guys that are out of favour at other clubs. So then, like, maybe a Zach Fisher or I don't know. But then you just, like, the kind of just other, it's like going to a yard sale almost,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. It's a hard one because.
A bargain hunt. Yeah. Do you ever watch that?
Which one?
Bargain hunt. And you go, there'd be two teams and there was that old British guy.
Yeah.
And they'd each have like £100 each and they'd have to go and buy stuff and then they'd put it in an auction.
Oh, really?
A sale on Saturday, a market sale on a Saturday morning or whatever, and pick up three items and then they go to put them in an auction house and occasionally someone would get lucky and find an ancient plate from 400 years ago and make £500. It's like, that's what you're kind of trying to do if you're going to go pick out someone who's not getting a game for another AFL club and because you're pretty much saying you guys don't know what you're doing.
That's pretty much what you're doing. Not necessarily.
Because otherwise you'd be getting the best out of your player.
Yeah, but I mean, depending what's in front of that person at the club, you know, who's playing in front of them. And I mean, you might be in such a – I mean, it's like when Hawthorn go and get Lloyd Meek. So it wasn't that we didn't value him or – do you know what I mean? There are other reasons.
Yeah, I know, but you can see what they've done there, though. They're providing competition and, you know, him and Reeves, there's – if Reeves has probably had a marginally better season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you still need two rucks. And they had Max's concussion. What's his face? Like, they probably knew that he wasn't a long-term proposition at the point where he just kept getting knocked out every time he stepped on the field.
So that's right. So there are different reasons why you would go and take a player that's not getting a game at another club.
But I reckon Lloyd Meek was worth a punt for anyone. Like, when he came in and played for us.
Yep.
He was highly competitive. Like, he didn't set the world on fire, but with an extended run, he's kind of had a bit of an extended run at Hawthorn.
Yep.
Like, games in a row, you get to have a better look at him. And, like, yeah, sure, maybe he's not a number one ruck, but it was still worth a look. It wouldn't have cost him much.
No, definitely. And it was probably fortunate that he didn't get a really good run here because...
Yeah. Well, when you look from Hawthorn's perspective, they get a pick in, they get O'Meara off the books, and they get a look at a young ruck.
Yeah.
It's kind of win-win for them.
It was win-win, actually. Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, going back to the wings, JoJo, everybody values them too high, well, very highly now. They've become very, very important. I mean, if they weren't always. But it just seems in this game we play now, the wings are absolutely vital, aren't they?
Well, yeah, if you want to start moving the ball quickly and scoring, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Or if you don't have it in other areas of the ground, if you don't have like a really strong running half back line or you don't have dynamic midfielders that run and carry and can play on the outside.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, like guys like Brayshaw and Sarong, you can see them trying to develop that area of the game, but it doesn't come naturally to them.
No.
Like getting width and depth. And I went down to training on Wednesday.
Right.
I was there for about an hour and you can see the drills we're doing. Like We're coaching everything to do this. It's just, I think some of our players, it just doesn't come naturally to them.
Right, okay. So they're playing, they've been their whole juniors and they're, and through their, you know, journey so far, they haven't played wing. So they haven't.
I don't mean doing wing drills, but it's all like, you know, linking up, running, hand passing, moving, and then forward entries. Like that, just about every drill incorporated that to try and coach into the boys, like what we've struggled with. So, they're working their ass off at it. So, they'll get there. They'll get there.
Yeah.
It was interesting a few of the comments that have come out this week from the Dockers, and probably in particular JL, about next year and some changes. And Nat Fyfe, now they're saying, is going to be trained wholly and solely to spend majority midfield time. And if he breaks down, he breaks down. Which is a marked shift from what we saw at the start of this year where he was just going to be a forward and that was going to be it. And we never saw it, really.
Well, that was the strange thing about it, is that when there were people, when it didn't work after two games for Fyfe, everyone was saying, doesn't work, you know, he's a midfielder, this, that, and the other. And the line from the club was, we haven't seen it. We haven't given it a go. So we still haven't.
We didn't. That's an accurate statement.
That's right. But we still haven't given it a go. And now he's got to go back to the middle. But maybe is it because that's where we need him? It's not that the Ford didn't work. The Ford project didn't work.
I think part of the education of this year has got an understanding that we lack diversity and depth in our midfield.
Yeah.
And we can't look, having five forward, whilst it would have been nice if he could develop himself and be a damaging asset forward.
Yeah.
We're probably not there yet.
No, we're not. We're not. And it's a little bit, not a worry, I suppose. I guess we're still developing, as you said, that if we have to rely on a five in the middle, the majority of the game. But another year into Sarong, Brayshaw, Young, you know, these guys, it'll come. And if Fife can stabilise them in there while they're growing, you know, it's a win-win, isn't it?
I think another thing that Das said last night that kind of struck a chord was something about Matty Johnson. And, you know, a lot of the boys there were talking him up and saying how exciting it is, which obviously, like, we enjoy watching him and seeing his progression.
Yeah.
But he suggested that he thought possibly he's gone a little bit too hard in the gym trying to bulk up, and he's put on a lot of weight, a lot of muscle, and trying to change his body, but is he doing it too quickly? And it's a mistake a lot of young players make, trying to fast-track their development. So, I think with this year, you know, he's had a great year, obviously. He's been nominated for a Body of Work Rising Star.
Yeah.
Nomination, but I think I think we'll see him take a leap. I think that he'll realign himself and get his body back in like where it needs to be, rather than just concentrating on bulking up all the time. And I think we'll see him take a bit of a leap next year, and that'll really help the midfield mix.
Yeah, gotcha. Right. But what haven't they got? They've got fitness guys and whatever down there. How does that occur?
Well, I suppose, I don't know, you're still a human, you're still an individual, you're still...
No, I know, but surely you're the set thing about
the Yeah, no, but you, the thing about elite athletes is, like, they're not like normal people.
No, probably not.
Not even probably not. Like, they have a drive to succeed.
Yeah.
And a determination that the ordinary person doesn't. Mm. You know, they'll get up at 4:30 in the morning and go for a run, whereas I'm like, oh, it's a bit cold this morning, I might hit snooze and get up in 2 hours.
Yeah,
like, you can't hold some of these guys back, especially the young ones, when they know that this might be the difference between them making it and them not making it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's a different mindset, and it's a good thing to have.
It is. Yeah. Definitely.
It can, and it's probably not even detrimental for him. It just means that it becomes difficult for him to produce on the field when his body is kind of in flux.
Yeah. Yeah. But it'll benefit him. You know, in the longer term or in the immediate term, midterm. So, yeah, I get it. Yep, that's fair enough. So, so he can grow into that. He can take that leap next year, you reckon?
Well, I reckon we'll see a good amount of growth from him next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. The other thing we spoke about last night, and Pav was a good one to talk about this, was Longmuir's coaching and his demeanour. There was a question to him about the fact that, is he too passive? Is he, you know, we don't see him give the players a serve at quarter time for a bad game, or he always seems very measured, very calm and
monotone
in his approach. So Sean said that's not the case behind closed doors. Like he'll let him have it. He picks his moments, but he's just like, and I think the thing that people don't understand with young guys these days is you don't have an arsenal of bullets to fire. You've only got a small amount of bullets to fire
before you start losing
the crowd.
Yeah,
and you got to pick your moments. But we're talking about how, as time goes on and more games get put into these guys, and the relationship builds between JL and all of these young players, that his coaching style will probably evolve.
Okay.
And I thought it was kind of an interesting topic as well, that, you know, you kind of bag him out now, or people bag him out now for being what seems to be a little bit like lacking emotion and passion and, like you said, monotone.
Yeah.
But I think he's trying to be the coach that these guys need at this point.
And trying to be the coach that the club portrays to the media. So he's
You hear stories when Ross was here, right? And yeah. I love Ross. Like, don't get me wrong, love Ross.
Yep.
But like guys like Lachie Schultz were scared to kick the footy because they might make a mistake.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's trying to create an environment where, you know, and even we've spoken about, we try to play perfect footy. Mm. But it doesn't sound like this is the kind of environment where there's a ton of bricks dropped on you if you make a mistake.
No, it doesn't, does it? So, and it's...
And maybe it evolves into, maybe not that bad, but maybe it evolves into some form of that in the future.
Yeah.
But when a guy's like 20, 21, 22, 23, maybe you don't need that straight up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess you don't want to crush young confidence, do you? You know, you don't want to, and spirit. You don't want to, especially in this era, because as you said, you can lose them pretty quickly. But at the same time, yeah, I don't know. Maybe, is that why?
You want to see some screaming?
Well, I don't know, but maybe that's why, you know, it's often said Ross finishes off a team, doesn't develop one. Maybe he doesn't have that rapport with the youngsters, you know.
From his time here with the young guys, I think the fact that he was almost walked out the door in the end,
yeah.
that would say that that's probably the truth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then you look at him now. You look at him now, and you can see he has, even if it's only an external perception, like he's tried to change himself a little bit.
Yeah, but he hasn't really. The test will come when they lose 2, 3, 4 on end, or you know when they will the old Ross come out? I reckon it will. I reckon it will. So, but that's not a bad thing. I mean, the Saints aren't kids, are they? So
no. Well, they probably got to rebuild in front of them, to be honest.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, so then you've got to ask: is Ross the right bloke to have there if you've got to do a rebuild?
Don't know. Like we'll get the opportunity to find out because I don't think he's getting fired anytime soon. No, so this game should be pretty interesting. I reckon we're a good chance to knock him off, to be honest. MCG, I think the guys will love going to the MCG and playing the prospect of maybe hitting the town afterwards and celebrating a win in Melbourne. I don't know, just from playing footy and thinking about, you know, we're going to go play footy at lunchtime and then, you know, we're all off together. I think that may be alluring to go and celebrate a win rather than celebrate the end of the season and a loss might be a good thing. We seem to have the culture at our club, and I know this, like, it's a weird thing to talk about because it's so hard to define and so hard to measure.
Mm.
I think we've got a really good culture developing at Freo where there's like a brotherhood amongst all the players.
They want
people there that want to be there and want to contribute in a positive way to culture. There's people, they're thinning out the group and they're thinning out the people that don't want to be there and contribute positively to the culture of the club.
That definitely does come across that you know, we're doing this for you. You know, if you want to be here, great. We'll come along. We'll look after you. But if you don't, well, you know. That came across, to be honest, that came across to me in the presser JL did today or yesterday, whichever one it was, when he got asked about Liam Henry. Is it, you know, we've done what we can do, the ball's in his court, you know, sort of thing. So
that almost sounded like resignation, though, doesn't
it? It did, didn't it? It really did.
Yeah. And he made a good point as well. Like even through the Adam Chera situation, we were convincing ourselves the whole way through that he's staying. But I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
The longer it goes on for, like, the less likely anyone's staying. Yeah. You don't just hang on and hang on. The disappointing thing would be if he goes to North Melbourne and they're just walking through to the preseason draft, which you could but Colin would do that.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, he actually made a good point. I know we're talking about Liam again, but Joe made an interesting point that he's been at the club since he's 13. I mean, you were talking about this the other day, that he's been at the club since he's 13 and he probably hasn't made a lot of choices himself. You know, a lot of choices.
Well, he hasn't. His mum made him take up the scholarship at Christchurch. So he had to go to boarding school. That wasn't his choice, right? There was a fight over, I think there was a fight between Perth and Claremont as to who got his rights. I think he's never, ever had a choice where he plays his footy or how he plays his footy. He's always been dictated to. So
what,
you're right. This is his first opportunity to make a choice.
That's
and
it.
Maybe that weighs into it, like, to some degree.
Yeah, I'm going to say, mate, it sort of paints it in a different light when you think about that. When you're a 13-year-old kid, you're now, what is he, 21, 20, 22, whatever he is now. So you sort of think, okay, that's a third of his life. He's had virtually no – yeah, okay, he's chosen to play footy. But for a third of his life, he's been told where he's going, what he's doing, who he's playing for. You kind of sort of start to think, hang on, you put yourself in his shoes and you might be going, hang on, I want to make a few decisions myself for where I, you know. So,
yeah,
it's an interesting one, isn't it? So
He's such a peculiar case, I think, for especially for our club with our – relatively short history compared to a lot of the other AFL clubs or, you know, previously VFL clubs. I think we don't want to talk about this too much, but I just feel his case is just so interesting. The fact that, you know, he's only played here a few years, but he's been part of the club for so long.
Yeah.
And then he, for some reason, he doesn't want to be here anymore. It's whatever way you want to paint it, and you can say you don't care or whatever, but there's got to be some level of your consciousness that cares about it because you should want people like him to be at the club forever.
That's right. Anyway. Yeah. It might change. He still might change. He might have a change of heart. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Come on, JoJo. Stay positive. JoJo, tell me, why is there a desperate push to have people identified as their sexual preference in AFL? Two-part question. And can you tell me what this superpower is that Bob is suggesting that people that aren't straight will have if they come out? Give me some answers.
Straight people ever get a superpower?
No. If you're not straight, the LGB people, whatever the thing is. Are all superheroes part of the rainbow alphabet?
I don't really like to get involved in these chats. The only opinion I do have on it is that I don't think sexual preference, politics, race, or anything should have anything to do with sport at any time. I think it should all just be about everyone just enjoying the game itself. Like, I don't really care if I'm not even going to say anyone's name just for the but just like I couldn't care less whether one of the Fremantle Dockers players is gay. The only thing I would hope is that if they did want to let everyone know, they felt comfortable doing it. And I think we live in a society now where you should feel more than comfortable doing it. You know, like, I don't think anyone's got an issue with it. So, to me, it's a bit of a non-issue. I don't really... I'd say I don't care. It sounds insensitive because I'm not part of the conversation, but really.
That's a cop-out. That's for you.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
It's like you fence it and then that's no, I don't care.
I don't really think it's got anything to do with me.
Of course it has.
What's it got to do with me?
Well, you're part of society, aren't you?
Yeah, no, but it just doesn't concern me. I don't care if anyone's gay, straight, or otherwise.
That's the issue. Nobody cares. Like, I mean, okay, there are some
people. Obviously, someone does.
Well, some people. But why are we pushing people that might not want to or are happy living their life the way they live? Why are we pushing them to come out or to make a big statement or whatever, you know? I don't get it, Jared. You know what I don't know? Who knew Superman, like, batted for the other team? I didn't know. Do you remember that show... Do you remember that show, Lois and Clark? Do you remember that, going back a bit? Terry Hatcher as Lois Lane?
Yeah.
I'll guarantee you, Superman isn't overlooking Terry Hatcher to get to Jimmy Olsen. There's no way.
I think it's disappointing. And some people love it because sport's the vehicle for them to progress whatever kind of conversation they want to progress.
Yeah. But
for me, sport is just sport and just let us enjoy the game on the weekend.
That's the issue. Just let us do that. Yeah. And
okay, so that was good. That was your little...
Well, you probably... the other thing. If you're going to promote this, you probably think twice about... you know, we won't condone anyone who isn't inclusive. We demand a pride round and all this stuff. Now, where can I get my Qatari government-funded merchandise? Do you know what I mean? These hypocrisies that are ridiculous. So, you know, it drives me. That's
what. Are you having a bad day or something?
I'm having a bad week, bad month. But I get annoyed at hypocrisies, Jojo. Like, walk the walk.
I know you do. You've got a tone in your voice today. Like, there's like a, I don't know. You got a. Bugged a bear. I haven't. Something. There's something going on. Not happy.
Not happy.
You need to go. Do you know what you need to do? Go sit down. Get yourself like a chamomile tea. Just sit and meditate. Eyes closed.
Something like that.
Look at the black space above the eyes. Maybe like 2 or 3 minutes.
Get rid of Woodside. They're killing the planet, JD. Oh man, how good's this light show went up the stadium? You know what I mean? Yeah. Ah, let it go. Which one? What was that tea? Chamomile. No, I do the. I go the Bob Murphy ginger and lemon. Ginger and lemon and ginger, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Go that one.
Yeah. That's just about it, isn't it?
I got nothing else. For the year.
Watch the footy.
Got nothing else for the year.
You're finished. All right. Well, until next year, are you still down with the restump?
Look, I am, but thinking this game is the end, that's for suckers. This is the head start on next year.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So yeah.